Hey, AfterBuzz fans, tonight we are going to find out who in the family of Orange is the New Black was loyal or not loyal. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Francesca refuses to sing the intro with me for all of you out there who are used to singing it. Hey everybody, what's up? I'm so happy to finally be back after a whole entire year away. I was out last week, but I have my lovely Francesca with me.
Hi.
We are going to be covering Pensatucky, aka Doggett, Red, Nikki, Lorna. I'm April Wissenhant. As y'all know, we're going to break it down this season by plots and characters rather than episodes, because that's how whenever we binge shows, we automatically talk about it anyway, right?
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. Since I wasn't here last week, I want to just hear your general thoughts about the season entirely. Mainly the season about, you know, the characters that we're talking about tonight, but what did you think?
It was different because I feel like there was just so many more characters this season. So, the characters that we were used to for the last five seasons, we didn't spend as much time, I feel like, in everyone, but everyone had different kind of like things going on. So it was interesting to see their characters in different, situations.
Yeah.
I guess. And I just, couldn't stand poor Red's hair this whole season. Thank God she made friends with Carol so she'd get that fixed. But I don't know. It was a refreshing season to me.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think that overall, especially when comparing it to maybe last season or even the season before, to me, I was like hooked every episode. Couldn't wait until I could watch the next. It was different in the sense of like legit everyone was kind of doing their own things. They all ultimately came back together too, but it was very separated this time.
Yes.
So it's almost like better to break it down how we're breaking it down, because that's literally how it happens in the show. Like I said, tonight the first person I want to kind of, or plot slash characters that I want to talk about are Doggett, Dixon, and Donuts.
And Donuts.
On their little
Donut coats.
On their little road trip. Did we know at the end of last season that he left with her in the trunk? Obviously, like, on purpose.
Right. But I couldn't remember, honestly. I really couldn't remember.
Yeah.
When they were saying, like, someone's missing, I was, like, racking my brain. Who is it?
Yeah.
But then I remember them talking about always, like, going off and doing their own thing. So it made sense.
Yeah. I'm trying to turn the live chat on y'all right now. That's why I'm doing this. I couldn't remember exactly like how they did it. I just knew that an inmate was missing. And,
right.
You know, we knew that the count was off and everything like that, because Linda from purchasing was in the count at the time because of lovely Joe Caputo. I didn't remember that they were, like, actually legit leaving together.
Right.
But we see them on a road trip. It's of course, Coates and Dixon. We don't know at the time that Doggett's in the trunk, but we learn it because Dixon is like, okay, we're on a road trip. I'm going to go all the way with you, because he thinks that Coates is going to commit suicide. And he does seem kind of suicide-y, because guess what? He's got an inmate in his trunk right now.
He is anxiety on high for sure.
Yeah.
But he was so stressed, and I thought that was funny because, you know, there's always that one annoying person that you can't shake.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need alone time, obviously his time for special reasons, because he had a hostage, or not a hostage, a runaway in his trunk. But I kind of like that Dixon ended up staying.
Same.
And, you know, later on when she reveals herself, I kind of like that he was, like, kind of, like, okay with it. And then ultimately he's back at the prison and is just kind of, like, he just had, like, a little fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Dixon was as okay with it as he was. But I think everyone's, like, dealing with the PTSD of the riot and all of that situation that went on. And, of course, we see so many COs are affected by that. And I found myself throughout the season, I, like, went back and forth on how I felt about it. Because, you know, we see McCullough is just, like, full on, like, out of it. You know, someone makes a slight jump to the left and she trips balls. Literally, that's the only way to say it. But, and I almost think that it's because of that, because, you know, Doggett was just, like, out of it. She wasn't, I mean, she was in it. Everyone ultimately was in it. But I think at that point, it's just like, okay, well, there's an inmate in here. What do you do?
Right.
And so he kind of just, like, goes along with him, and he's like, you're not, because originally he was going to be dropped off at his sister's house. He's like, no, right. I'm going with you. They even take it so far as to, like, dress her as a guy and go to some sort of amusement
play
park.
Play World. Or it was like play, I don't think I wrote
Playland, Playland or
Playland,
something like that.
Yeah, Playland, yeah.
Yeah. Which I thought was just, I'm like, why do, it's always like people get caught in those situations. Or like they do stuff because they think, oh, this is so, you know, I want to get out, but I right. don't want to get caught. But I'm like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
It's like, I feel like if you, if I were a criminal, yeah. which I am not, everyone. If I were
on
a
the
criminal,
low low.
And I escaped jail and was totally under the radar, I would probably know eventually that I would be caught. So I might as well go have some fun and go to Playland.
That's true. Are you surprised that Coates wanted her so much, like, to essentially run away with him?
That he liked her? No. I mean,
he wanted her to stay. Like, you know, we see at one point he's, like, talking her into going to Canada and stuff like that.
He, I mean, he's just obviously creepy with everything that happened
yeah.
previously. That whole rapey vibe.
Yeah.
And basically.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not surprised. I'm happy, though, that Pentadoggett, there we go.
Pentadoggett, yeah.
That she ultimately kind of realized. Mm-hmm. Because I think when she was in jail, she was kind of having this just, like, it was something not, she was focusing on something not revolving around being stuck in jail. So she yeah. had, like, this boy toy or whatever their weird relationship was, mm-hmm. and so she was just thinking about that. And but then ultimately, when she was out in the real world,
I'm not surprised.
I swore my laptop volume was off. I swear, I'm sorry, y'all.
she realized how much he is kind of like crazy and unpredictable.
Yeah.
With his anger, and she was like, "No, I can't deal with this." I mean, and Dixon left too because he yeah. couldn't deal with it.
I mean, I'm sorry, but. I fully get, like, runaway love story, kind of romantic, but then I'm also like, you were handing her cups to pee in the car, like, you gotta be a little off, you know what I mean? Like, any person in that situation, because, you know, let's try and put ourselves in this situation. If we were a runaway inmate, whatever, or fugitive, in some way, you know, you're gonna do whatever you can to protect yourself, but also, like, He definitely shouldn't have let Dixon just come with them. Like, she's like, no, kick him out. Like, come on, dude, be a man. But he clearly has these issues that have, like, been longstanding for right. himself. But even, like, the scene with them in the hotel room was so weird because he's over there, like, was he doing push-ups or crunches? And I don't know. It's just so weird that she's just, like, living this life outside of it. But I am glad that Dixon, like, decided to go back. And even he was like, because he realized that Pennsylvania was trying to do the right thing. And he's right. like, you can come, like, I'll drive you, essentially. But crazy man Coates was not going to have that whatsoever. What the scene where they're kind of like their final scene. Oh, when they're in this diner, not their final scene. They're in this diner. And that's when they discover that there's, you know, essentially a manhunt
oh, right.
for Pennsylvania. Because our lovely girl Fig discovers that the count was off because of Linda.
Right.
And so she orders this huge manhunt and they see it on a TV in a diner. And that's when she kind of like freaks out. And it's so weird. Her character has come so far in the sense of, I mean, think about like the stuff she's done before where she like make a shiv out of a cross in one season? I can't remember. Like almost beat someone to death.
Yeah.
Oh no, she almost got beat to death.
They all blend together for me.
I know, right? Basically, everyone's almost been beat to death at one point in the show. But it's just so weird to see her like, you know, I should go back and do the right thing and just finish my sentence. I don't know what her sentence is, but I'm like,
oh. I was kind of happy that they didn't take that romance route with her and Coates because, yeah. like I said, like their relationship before was just so kind of just like awkward, like. Rapey, like I said, like,
well, literally,
you know,
yeah.
So I think also she kind of grew as a character because she was like, yeah, there's a manhunt out for me, but she literally could have stayed with him and tried to cross into Canada. Mm-hmm. But she was like, he's a little too much and this isn't right. And yeah. I'm a better person. So you know what? I'm just going to turn myself in.
Yeah.
So it kind of, she kind of matured, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we see that, like, Merle Ortega in the chat says, I was surprised that Coates wanted her to run away with him, but she ended up turning herself in, which I didn't get why she would do that. I didn't at first, but then even, like, as the episodes progressed and we see that final scene mm-hmm. with the two of them anyway, where they're in the woods and he's, like, trying to start a fire. And he's so frustrated. And that's where you see, you know, she's just kind of, like, sitting back, letting him do his mm-hmm. thing. Because she knows, or I think she has, like, fully realized at this point, that these little things are going to set him off always. And even if it's not that, even if it's that, you know, she's just kind of like, I need to go back. I need to do this so I can right. do whatever. She still kind of, like, pulls herself back. And then she waits for him to go to sleep and, like, makes a fire in 2 seconds. And, you know, which she could have done when he was awake. But right. she kind of realized that craziness in him. And then she just leaves him. Mm-hmm. Which I was like, is he going to make it? I don't know. It's very unclear. I also don't necessarily care if yeah. he does or not.
I think he just gets lost in the woods and we never see him again.
Yeah. And then we don't really see her much more in the season other than just kind of here and there. She's with, you know, Suzanne a little. If she's in Florida, she's just kind of like going along for the ride. There's not really much more that happens with her character mm-hmm. throughout the season. It was all kind of like in that first little bit.
Right.
So for her, am I missing anything before I move on to our big girls?
No. Just really briefly, what did you think about Dixon standing up for Doggett and Coates when they were kissing, but she was dressed up as a boy?
Oh,
and
my those gosh. Guys. I forgot about that scene. Yeah. I loved it because it's like he clearly could have gone the other way with the situation and like immediately calling the cops or doing something like that. But then actually to see him like defend her in this random situation where someone's like making fun of them for being gay because right. she's dressed up. It was unexpected. I loved it. And that's, I love when the show throws in those random little mm-hmm. things like that.
Yeah, it made Dixon's character, I think, a little lovable, especially also with his little teddy bear. Mm-hmm. And I like that she goes up to him once they're back in prison and yeah. asks how the teddy bear is doing.
Yeah.
She's like, shh.
He's like, it's in my bed. I sleep with it every night. It's every basically night. A body pillow. I love it. I love it. Okay, so our main ladies we're talking about tonight are Red, Nikki, and Lorna. Lorna is another character that we actually didn't see too much this season either. She kind of comes in and out with different stuff, but the main thing that is her storyline this season is that she is preg-o.
This, honestly, the whole time I thought she wasn't pregnant until the very end. Because just, you know
Wait,
how she's...
Wait, why?
You know how she was crazy?
It was confirmed last season that she was.
Oh, see, I couldn't remember because yeah. it'd been a whole year.
I know,
but I thought maybe, like, she was just still going crazy about it. So it really didn't, I didn't really didn't realize till the very end, like, oh shoot. Yeah. She really is pregnant. The yeah. whole time I was like
she has confused. A belly.
Yeah.
She, is essentially doing stuff basically just to protect her pregnancy. Like we see her, I loved the scene where there's like the long line for the commissary or whatever. And someone's like, you're pregnant. You don't wait in line. Like use that. I actually thought she was going to get jumped. But then she didn't. And it's like in true Lorna fashion, she just kind of does her thing. She's like, ooh, pregnant lady in a way. Like,
her, hello. You did that little voice.
I'm right here. She's in D block, which Nikki eventually gets to.
Right.
And she is kind of very naively, which is basically Lorna in a nutshell.
Right.
Has kind of just joined the C block, D block war. And even like when Nikki joins later, she's just kind of like, no, this is what we gotta do. Yeah. Like, their fight is
talk like her the whole time, please.
Yes, I can. Like, their fight is our fight, and you know, we see Nikki try and like talk her out of that because she doesn't need to be doing this. Like, she's pregnant.
Right? I know.
Hello.
And I like that, you know, because they have Nikki and Lorna had their relationship in the past too. Mm-hmm. I like that that wasn't like an issue, and they could continue to have like a friendship.
Yeah.
And Nikki took on, I feel like Nikki's character is kind of like this in general, but she took on a very like not motherly, but like what's the word?
Almost like a protector.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And she's always done that with Lorna, even though she, you know, had the feels for a little while. And she even, like, makes a few random comments throughout the season, but nothing crazy.
Right.
Lorna has that scene where we get to see, and, you know, this is one of the things I've always wondered, but we see a gynecologist come in, and Lorna gets very upset because Vinny isn't there, and then she, like, starts to, you know, think about, oh my gosh, he's not going to be mm-hmm. here for any of this stuff. And I'm like, when are we just going to talk about what happens to the baby after? Because that's right. never been... I mean, we've addressed it before, obviously, with Daya's plot,
yeah.
And we all know ultimately what happens, but I'm like, are we just not going to talk about it? I mean, maybe we will, because in the finale, we see her go into labor.
Right.
So.
I feel like, and this kind of goes into, like, prediction slightly, yeah. but I feel like she's, just her mental state, she's mm-hmm. not going to be able to handle that very well.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Well, it almost, I mean, I don't know how far along she is. If anyone in the chat knows how far along Lorna is, let us know. But I got the, from what I can remember, I have the feeling that she is too early. So also, like, you know, semi-prediction, I'm feeling like a bad situation
yeah.
coming along.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, because it looked like the contractions or whatever that was going on was a little intense and it wasn't expected, so
yeah.
definitely it probably was
yeah
kind of early.
I mean, at least Nikki finally talked her out of, like, joining the whole potential dodgeball Shiv war.
Shiv shenanigans.
And she only did it because of the Piper and Alex wedding. But I'm glad that she was able to do that, and, like, something just finally clicked in Lorna's mind, like, no, I have to protect my baby.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was even before, and, you know, Nikki kind of, like, put herself in it because they got caught in that closet trying to hide. And I forget who, it was Madison that finds them, right? Or no,
no,
it was one
of the other girls.
One of the other girls. She finds them, and Nikki kind of almost just, like, falls on the sword for Lorna. But then,
basically.
You know, she goes into labor by herself, so that kind of sucks.
Yeah, not a win-win.
But you are in prison, so... You know, that's also a thing that I always go back and forth with on this show, is that, like, there are the times where I feel genuinely so bad, and then there are the characters that we should, like, Tasty, who's in there for this long because
right.
of a random drug charge and whatever, but then I'm like, okay, you're in prison, but then I'm like, oh, but you're having to go through this stuff, oh, but you did,
I think that's what's great about the show, is they make characters relatable or semi-relatable,
yeah.
so you feel for them regardless. You forget almost for a moment that they're in, like, well, this season they're in Max.
Yeah.
You're just thinking about them as people, which
yeah.
is kind of cool.
It's cool. It's cool.
As long as they're not violent charges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, they are. We have then mainly, you know, our Red and Nikki situation. Of course, we have other characters come into play here, but... Season starts off, and they're all in ADSEG, which is administrative segregation. Full disclosure, the whole entire season, I had no idea what that meant.
Honestly, I didn't know until right now.
And I Googled it on the way here. I kept thinking, I was like, ADSEG, and then I was thinking, like, solitary confinement, so I'm like, how does that go
right.
into play? Whatever. But they're all in...
Thanks for Googling, April.
You're welcome. Thank you, Google. They're all in ADSEG because of the riot.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been transferred to Max, which is up the street from Litchfield, essentially. And they're in these individual rooms where they can, like, see each other through a little window. So a little different than solitary confinement, I guess. But that's where they are because they're doing the investigation on Piscatella's death.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we all know that Piscatella was killed by the SWAT
guard,
team
yeah.
that came in. And then there's the whole thing in the pool situation where Cindy and Suzanne see it. But no one knows that this happened. At this time, they don't even know, other than Suzanne and Cindy, obviously. At this time, they don't even know that Piscatella is dead.
Right.
Once they finally find that out, they're all on a bus. I forget where they're going at the time, but doesn't really matter. They're on a bus, and Red says, like, okay, we have to get our stories together. Nikki and Piper and other girls are not on the bus at the time. It's, like, Cindy and... It's the girls who were in the pool. Whatever.
Right.
And Red says that they need to say... that Piscatella was holding them there, that not that they were holding him there. And they also don't know that the people are lying and saying whatever. But so everyone finds out, or Red at the time finds out that he has died, and this is right. why they're all in ADSEG and they're being investigated. This happens like later on in the season, but we learn that essentially what they want to do is have like two people that are going to get life sentences. We know that Daya is one of them. And then another person they want to like pin this on right. because there's no one person so that you can pin it on. Exactly. And then the rest are going to get like these 10-year sentences added right, to their time. Sentence.
I just yes. have to say, like, that is one of my worst fears. One is being like suffocation or being like buried alive or something like that.
Oh gosh.
But my second one is being awful. Framed for something. And what I felt the most for in this season was just how sad it is that they're already down and then, you know, like getting kicked while they're down because they need to pin it on somebody and yeah. they're just, you know, you're kind of just helpless and you see all of them they're scrambling because they want to save their lives.
Yeah.
You know, not get any more time. And so they kind of like, you know, essentially turn on each other / like, you know, or just don't know what to do because they don't know how to get out of this.
I mean, they all end up having to, like, protect. I didn't know that. Mine are frogs, robbers, and murderers.
Frogs!
Top three. Frogs, robbers, and murderers. It's sad because they do all have to end up, you know, protecting number one.
Right.
Meaning themselves. But it's also terrible that, you know, Suzanne and Cindy are in the situation where they literally hear. He wasn't killed in the pool. He was killed in the hallway. But they hear the and see the SWAT team come in and do things. Literally, the one guy shoots him in the head again right. because they need to shoot him with the gun that was down there. And they see them set this whole thing up, but they can't say anything. And Cindy, like, has this plan that she has to form in order to be like, no, Suzanne, we can't say what happened because right. we know Suzanne can't really lie because they're inmates and they're not credible witnesses. And they're going to say this happened and then it's not. But I almost think just what we see the other characters going through, meaning Red and Nikki and everyone else, that it almost, I'm like, you should have just said something
exactly.
from the beginning. Because even if they wouldn't have believed them, it's still going to bring it up in an investigation. Then Tasty could have gone to Caputo or whatever.
Right.
But I'm, even though, you know, that involves other characters, it's still like, it still would have brought something up. Like, no one's just going to not listen to this happening, and that would have saved Red, at least, a lot more time.
Right, exactly. And, I, you know, that's a whole, what is it? Like, a saying, I guess, like, honesty is the best policy. Like, as cheesy yeah. as it is, it, you know, and I know that snitches get stitches in jail, but, like, there's all a lot of problems this season were caused because no one could say anything.
No one told the truth.
Right, no one right. told the truth.
And then by the time they wanted to, then it's too late.
It's right.
Because then it's like, oh, but you lied. And
right.
now you're going to go
now
back and say
credible.
That.
Yeah.
yeah. But we see for the first time this season Nikki's dad, mm-hmm. named Les, come into the picture, and he is essentially trying to help her with her litigation. He brings in a litigator named Michelle.
Mm-hmm, Michelle.
And it's so awkward, and Nikki, like, sees him touch her arm, and it's like, oh, so you're just another one, like the French tutor and whatever else. And the lady's like, actually, we're engaged, and we have two kids, one of which is named Atticus. It's one of the things I remembered throughout the season the most, is Atticus. That they named him Atticus, which Nikki hated. I actually, like, low-key liked. But and this is where she's kind of faced with, they're telling her, like, they need a name, you know, you're mm-hmm. telling us what happened, you know, they just need someone to go down for Piscatella. Red is the one that they think we have a case on,
right?
And they didn't know at this point that, you know, Piper kind of had already done that because she thought that Alex was dead and didn't
right.
care and whatever. But Nikki's like, no, I won't do it. Not going to happen.
Right. And she was facing 70 years, I think.
She didn't know that part at first. She finds that out later after something goes down. I wrote it in my notes. Oh, she's being finally interviewed by other counsel. That's when they say that they have 30 different statements from 30 different inmates mm-hmm. saying that she went into the prescription cabinet or whatever
oh,
they
yeah.
called it. The pharmacy. prescription cabinet? Like, what was that? She went to the pharmacy and distributed medication.
It was just a cabinet, so. Exactly.
And distributed medication to people. So that's when she learns, she, like you were saying, she could face up to 70 years. So she kind of like rethinks things and right. talks to her dad again. And her dad and Michelle, her future stepmom, says that like they're already building this case, we think, against Red. This is all you have to do. She still says she doesn't want to name Red. She's fine with like Frida going down and whatever. But then they have this situation where they're like allowed to make a phone call, I guess. And Red and Nikki kind of are situated yeah. by each other, talking in like terrible code. At this point, Red had already tried to send a message to Nikki and to Piper saying that Piscatella was dead. Nikki didn't get this whatsoever, because then that would have changed everything.
Right.
Because at that point, she didn't know before she got interviewed anyway. Piper did, and then obviously thought that it meant that
Alex
was dead.
Piper's just so obsessed with Alex anyway.
Right. And that's how it went down with, like, Red. Nikki is never actually, like, named Red. The reason why her name was in there so much is because they were, like, Piper said that Red lured Piscatella in there to torture him because she hated him so much. So then where they're talking by the phones, and this is the first time they've kind of been able to communicate, Red learns that Nikki might face the 70 years.
Right.
And as much as she doesn't want to be in prison for life, she also doesn't want Nikki to be right. in prison for life. So Michelle tells Nikki something like, you know, if you don't name her and she takes a plea deal before you, then your plea deal is going to be off the table. So it's like she doesn't fully say that Red did it, but, well, she does, and even, like, the investigators, when they're talking to Red, they don't say that we think you did it. They just say, basically, we think you orchestrated it. Mm-hmm. So they kind of had the plea deal worked out for her to where if you sign this, you know, you'll get 10 extra years, and that's it. But then Nikki ultimately does say it to her, or say that Red brought him in there.
Right.
But, so Nikki gets her plea, 70 years washed away. Red gets 10 years.
Right.
Which is just, but her lawyer did such a terrible job anyway, because because he was telling her, like, if you go to trial, you definitely won't win.
Right.
Like, with 10 years, that's just 10 years. Like, otherwise you'll die in here. And that's what ultimately makes her kind of be like, okay, I'll just sign it. But it's so sad, because we also see her this season, you know, this is why I said in the intro, the family, because that's what they've always been called throughout the whole entire show. And this season, clearly we see Piper go against her. Not, you know, she has the excuse of, oh, I thought that Alex was right. dead. But, like, no. Like, do the right thing. And then Nikki, you know, almost essentially had no choice. And she forgives Nikki. And, like, you know that there's not a problem there. But it makes her realize that, like, her real family is out there. And that's the one who she should have been protecting and protecting herself with the whole time, instead of getting in all of this mess.
You're talking about Red.
Yes.
Yes. With Nikki, though, it was interesting because, you know, we get the backstory, too, with her family, which I want to talk about that next. I really liked her flashback.
Same.
But you see, like, what we're talking about right now, her dad's the one that's trying to represent her and this and that. And that's when she realizes, and we as watchers getting the flashback, that even though he's blood, that's not family. Red is truly, like, her family.
Yeah.
When I feel like Red kind of had the opposite thought for a moment, but she makes amends with Nikki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's even, like, when we see, you know, after Nikki signs, I guess, her plea deal or whatever, and we see her being moved from ADSEG to Gen Pop, which I did know what that means.
Yes.
General population. And Red, like, bangs on the door, and Nikki looks up at her, and she's like, it's okay, or I forgive you, or whatever she said. That was just, like, shot to the heart, like, holy smokes, not good. Nikki gets moved to D Block with Barbara and
Barb,
which I can't wait until we talk about them, because that's going to be they're interesting characters that I love. But then Red gets transferred to C Block with Carol. And in true Red fashion, she just can't stay out of it. Red this whole time is, obviously she's angry at Piper, but more than that, it's Frida, because she knows that Frida is the one who originally even threw her name in there in the first place. Why did Frida do that? Because Frida has history with all the people at Max. And she wants to be in Florida. Sisters. She wants to be on B block because she knows that Carol and Barb are on C and D block. It's a lot of blocks to keep up with. But so Red knows that Frida essentially betrayed her. She knows that Frida, at first, like, when before she knew, and Frida, like, committed suicide. She tried to commit suicide. Red was, like, angry at her. Like, how could you do that? Oh, my gosh. But later, we see Red kind of, like, laying in bed, fuming over everything what happened, or everything that happened. And that's when she remembers Frida saying that if she ever got moved to Max, she would fear for her life because of the people that she betrayed in there before. So, of course, Red goes to look for the person that hates Frida as much as she does, and she stumbles upon lovely, crazy Carol, as I so lovingly like to call her. I know Carol is, like, full-on nut job, but I really love Carol.
I love their character, too.
Yeah.
But we'll get into that another time.
Exactly. But she... So they're on different blocks. You know, there's this huge war the whole time, literally just because of these two sisters. The whole time, the whole season, I kept thinking, like, why don't people just kill them?
Yeah.
Foreshadowing right there. But basically, Red and Carol bond over their hatred for Frida. Did you think that, like, Frida was going to essentially get away with all of it, or did you think that they would end up, like, finding her and killing her?
No, I didn't think that they were going to get her. I know we're not necessarily focused on Frida right now, but her just little shenanigans with
Suzanne
in Florida were just funny to me, how she's setting up booby traps and, like, they're doing a little investigation. She has Suzanne going around. I knew she was going to somehow get out of it, just especially because of her survival skills in the last season. You know, we find out that she had that secret bunker the whole time that they were in
prison.
So yeah. I think she was too crafty. But if she had stayed in C or D block, I feel like it might have been a different story.
Yeah. Well, we immediately see Red goes, like, full Red again.
Right.
But this, you know, thankfully, it's a good thing that she met Carol, because that is how she got into the salon.
Yes.
And that is how they fixed her scalp.
I was honestly really confused how they did that, because wasn't she, like, bald on
top? That's the magic of TV, my friend.
Then all of a sudden she has a nice little blonde do.
She's like, and with just, like, a streak of red or whatever it was.
Like, on the bottom, like, a kind of a bad ombre on the bottom.
I'm like, where? I thought, even when they were doing it, I was like, they're going to do a Donald Trump comb over on her. And it's because, like, she had this, but, I mean, that's what they did. And magically, the whole thing created an entire head of hair for her.
Head of hair.
I don't even care. I don't care if it didn't look legit, because guess what? I was, like, the scalp was just a lot.
It was too much. It was like, I think I read somewhere someone compared her to Pennywise.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, God, now I can't get that out of my head.
I know.
But what was I going to say about the hair? Dang it. Oh, last episode we were talking about that. And we were saying that blonde actually looks really great on her.
It really does. Yeah. Well, she just looks good no matter what. But I was good to see her, or glad to see her have a little updated do. But that's how she kind of bonds with Carol over the hatred for Frida. And, I mean, Frida did straight up sell Red out, in the sense of, like, the investigator literally is like, or I think with the council, whatever, he's like, we just need a name, maybe a Russian one. And we don't exactly, you know, you never see these people, minus Piper, say fully, like, Red or Tasty or whoever. But, like, it, you know, according to how things play out, you do see that. But Red goes full Red again and is like, yeah, I'm down to kill Frida. Because they, like, talk about, at one point, they're, like, creating a fantasy land on how they would kill her. And Carol's like, or this is how she's really going to die. Someone's going to cut her throat with a shiv. I paid someone to do it. And Red's like, yeah. But I'm surprised that she went, you know, knowing that she just got 10 years added to her sentence. It's like, wait, go the other way. I understand you're angry, but you also just realized that because you got into these situations with these people or created this or whatever, that now you have these extra 10 years added onto your sentence, and you can't see your family, and you have all these grandkids they'll never meet. So it's just like, it's just sad to think of her going through all of that.
I mean, ultimately at the end when she sees Frida walking through the, when she's walking through the hallway.
Yeah.
That part broke my heart because she was finally going to see her grandkids.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something that the whole season she was talking about, family, 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 that she had never paid her real family much attention mm-hmm. while she was in there. And she couldn't let that anger go, and she had to try and strangle Frida. And then, you know, her son's probably never going to want to come back again and visit because he's going to find out that she got in trouble again. But it's like, why?
Just for trying to fight an inmate. Star Cloak in the chat says, why did Red go for Frida instead of seeing her family? Was it worth it?
No, it wasn't.
Of course it's not worth it. But she, you know, her anger is so strong at this time because she can't see her family for 10 more years, essentially because of Frida. And so
She's just in this circle.
Yeah, was she ever not going to go after Frida the second she saw her? Probably not. But no, it's, of course, definitely not worth it. This kind of, you know, we have Red at this point with Carol, and then we have Nikki, like we said, on D block with Barb. And Nikki and Barb kind of bonded a little differently than Carol and Red did, but they bonded in the infirmary, and Nikki essentially got Barb over her drug habit.
She pretended that she could see the flies that Barb was seeing.
Something about eating a frog in the corner. Oh, that's disgusting.
Frog's your favorite. Yeah, so she befriends Barb and Red's with Carol. But see, this is what I liked about Nikki is that she kind of stayed true to her quote-unquote family.
Yeah.
Because that's when they were going to try and kill, when Barb was going to try and kill Carol mm-hmm. and Red in the salon.
Yeah.
You know, Nikki, she knows the other girls are looking at her and watching her. And she still tries to get a message to Red to make sure that Red doesn't end up
dead
in this whole shenanigan. And the whole time she was looking out for Red regardless. Yeah.
And it does, you know, it works out to where Red doesn't die, thankfully. And Nikki gets accused and, like, sent probably almost shivved by Daddy and by Barb. But she talks her way out of it because that's what she does. She's a talker. And she's like this. And she always somehow manages to make it work out. But, you know, she did kind of end up getting involved in the war a little bit, but ultimately stayed true to her peeps mm-hmm. and was able to. That's why I loved the wedding scene in the end that she and Lorna organized for. And she officiated it for the two, for Piper and Alex, because it almost like brought them all back together. Like the people that we haven't seen together. Essentially, since season one, we were able to kind of see them in this fight. And even when, like, Nikki's out there in the fight, or I'm sorry, in the dodgeball game, the whole time I'm like, oh my God, is this really going to happen? Is this really going to happen? But, you know, thankfully, cooler heads prevailed, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it ultimately ends up with our girl Red in prison for a lot longer.
Yeah.
And Frida's still in there, too.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see what happens to her. Mm-hmm. Do we miss anything?
Just really quickly, the flashback with Nikki.
Yes,
I just that was probably one of my favorite scenes mm-hmm. In the whole season.
Yeah,
because that's just so sad. How would you feel if both your parents essentially don't even want you? Like, you're a burden. Oh, I thought you were taking her this weekend. No, I don't want to take her this weekend. And you're at your own bar mitzvah, and mm-hmm. and what was her line? She said, why do you honor your mother and father if they really don't give a shit about you?
Exactly.
And everyone's like, ah. And then she just goes off. God. I'm like, yes, Nikki. Yeah.
Well, you literally, in that scene, you see her transform almost into the person that she is now immediately. Because, you know, it was like, she's shopping for dresses with her mom, and her mom's like, why are you talking about your dad and his girlfriend or his wife at the time? I don't remember what it was in this speech. Like, no, take that out. So she takes that out. And then she sees them arguing and they're doing all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. So like, no, why would she be appreciative of them? And then the conversation after where, you know, of course they're angry, but it's like, what she said is true. Like, you're both, you know, narcissist mm-hmm. and just crazy. And, you know, it's almost odd to me that I liked seeing Nikki's dad help her and stand up for her, but it's also like, that's what you deserve. Yeah. Like, that's what you're supposed to do.
She should have been doing this whole time, and she might not have been where she is now.
Well, she said she was. He said he was, but she was refusing his help. And I think she confirmed that she was refusing his help as well.
But, I mean, going back to when she was a kid.
Oh, like, yeah, that exactly. That shaped her, you know? Yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, dealing with adults are easy. I couldn't even say that with a straight face. Well, that's all we have on those characters. Of course, they'll come up in our other sections as well. I loved getting to see all of them again. I'm happy Red has a new hairstyle.
Yes.
And that they're all safe for season 7. At least we know that much.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I'm April Wissenhant. Y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant. Where can they find you?
And you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at XOXOCESCA.
Awesome. See y'all next week. Find out who we're covering. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.